Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. A world's been not a different story. This time I'm mistaken for having your heart worth breaking. And I've been wrong. I've been down.
Here's my message. I get it. I was a young police officer myself, and I, you know, Chicago has a bunch of different units, so I was constantly working for new bosses. But we had outside superintendents in Chicago, is what they call the leader of the police department. I worked for a boss from the NYPD. I worked for a boss from the LAPD. I worked for a boss from the Dallas Police Department. All outsiders who had a different perspective, and all of them were met with skepticism by me because they were strangers. So I'm just going to say, I get it. Keep an open mind. I know that I have to earn your trust, and I'm going to work extremely hard. And it's not just the police department. There's others in the community, too, who I think would have been more comfortable with somebody from inside the community. So my message to both the skeptical police officer and the skeptical resident of the city of Pensacola, I get it. And I'm going to earn that trust.
And it's Eric Winstrom, the chief of police in Grand Rapids, soon to be the chief of police in Pensacola, pending confirmation by the city council tonight. I would expect that to go 7-0. I'd be very surprised if there was anything other than a 7-0 vote tonight. But, of course, you actually have to play the game in order to find out what the result is. You don't get to say, we're sure they're going to win. You have to actually win. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, one of the questions that's been raised about him, of course, is, you know, how will you gain the trust of the inside people, the people who are already here, especially when they picked you over a candidate who was the one they picked? And he said, I get it. I mean, that's what cops do. Cops are distrustful. It takes time. I've been that guy. Who didn't trust, and with several different people. And then I went to Grand Rapids as that guy, and I managed to make it work. And I'll come here and we'll make it work because I get it. It takes time. No big deal. You know, he was then asked a question. This is at the press conference last week right before I went on vacation for a couple days, and I didn't have a chance to cover this previously, but I thought the answers are important, especially since we're going to have this conversation tonight. It's important to, you know, get a better sense of who he is. Of course, you heard the interview that I did with him last week as well. But his notion of policing has been heavily shaped by the story of his brother. And some people react to this like it's a bad thing, and I do not understand that reaction, but it has been a reaction. But here's him telling the story of his brother and then how it affects his view of policing.
I think maybe you're talking about the story I told about my brother when I was 11-year-old. My brother went to prison for selling a very small amount of cocaine. I'm not a fan of illegal narcotics. I know some people say that it's a victimless crime, but if you've ever had a loved one who overdosed it and died, if you ever have violence outside of where your kids are playing because of the drug trade, you know it's not a victimless crime. But having said that, 11-year-old me loved my brother. He's a reason, unfortunately, that I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. So, but I love him. I still love him to this day. He's been sober for over 30 years. And so that love, and I saw the devastation that his imprisonment had on my mom. And it just gave me a different perspective. And it let me understand, too, that my circumstances were different. I had an older brother to see the mistakes that he made and to change how I was moving forward.
Okay. And that was kind of his first. He was against law enforcement in the beginning. He didn't like cops because he thought, you know, the system is what did his brother wrong. And then he went to law school, and then he started working on kind of like internal affairs with police, and then he became a cop, and then he started working with kids and in the projects, and I mean, child crimes, I mean, and then working in the projects, and he also worked on the consent decree in Chicago, and I've told this story a bunch, but if you haven't heard it, it's important. Then he went to be the, you know, the police chief in Grand Rapids. But the beginning of it all, really the beginning of his career, was anti-cop. Now, obviously, as a police chief now, he has changed that dramatically from his experiences, but he still retains an understanding of what it means to, you know, be on the other side of this, kind of like we talked about with, you know, Chip yesterday or the day before, that, you know, his background as being a CO, a corrections officer, and also as having run the jail. He understands that side of the experience in a way that you don't if you haven't done that. How did all of this change Eric Winstrom's approach to policing?
When I'm out in the street as a patrol officer, it's there before the grace of God go I, whether I'm dealing with someone who I'm putting handcuffs on, whether I'm talking to someone who does not have a house to go home to, that empathy that comes from having loved ones in your life who've gone through things. And Something I tell all the new police officers that I hire early on is that you'll be a success if you just respond to every incident like you're responding to how you would want a police officer to respond to your mom's house, to a loved one's house. And it hasn't always been that way. We are a profession that 25 years ago, you were more likely to feel like you had an occupying army policing. And that's a culture change that we had to shift.
Yeah, golden rule policing. Police unto others as you would want them to police unto your family, right? How would you want the cop to treat your sister, your son, your dad, your mom, your aunt, right? You know, and because, as he also said, you know, there but for the grace of God, any of us could have been in bad circumstances. Any of us still could, you know, most all of us are only a couple of decisions or bad circumstances away from something really horrible happening in our lives. And, you know, cops are supposed to be there to help. So help. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I-10, I-110, 90, 29, they are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need a new roof for your home, or you're not sure if you do, or you know that you need some parts repaired, but you're not sure if you need the whole thing replaced just yet, call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company in 2006, 10,000 roofs later at a 4.9 rating on Google. They're doing it right, and the reviews say so. In fact, if you want to learn about it, go read the reviews. You know, you'll see. People love this company. Because I know contractors, construction folks, there's a sense of like, you know, how are they going to take advantage of me? What are they going to do me wrong? You know, or am I going to be able to talk to them and all that? But that's the point. They set out to be not that kind of business. They set out to be the people that you can trust, that you can count on, that will be here for a long time, that will do you right, that will treat that, you know, even with cost, you know, try to make sure that things are affordable, then stand by their work. You know, just last year, they increased their warranty for their homes for workmanship is lifetime now. So the life of the roof. Who does that? Well, they do because, you know, they've been here and they can stand by it and they know they'll take care of you. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. All right, back to Eric Winstrom's comments about policing. And, you know, we just got done playing the clip where he said that, you know, he, because of his experiences and just in general, policing under the golden rule, you know, police under others, you would have them police under you, treat the people you engage with like you would want cops to treat your family. You know, be kind, be generous, be helpful. You know, that's a great reminder all the time. And then this, I thought, and I guarantee you this is true, okay? I wish it weren't, in a way. You'll understand why afterwards, but this is really accurate.
One other thing, when I know I haven't made any hiring decisions here yet, but we can train you how to be a very good police officer, but we cannot train you to have very good character. So what I will be looking for when I make those hiring decisions is we'll be hiring for character. We know we have spoke to a training lieutenant today. We know we have an excellent system in place in the Pensacola Police Department. And we're going to give them great candidates, but we're going to get good people because that's what the city deserves.
And by the way, that is, I mean, he's not innovating with that observation. One of the key things both at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and at the Pensacola Police Department is they screen for, you know, background checks, obviously, physical capabilities, but they also screen for character. They do polygraph and they run you through the ringer, and, you know, if you're a hot mess, you do not get hired. You know, they want to make sure you've got good character, because I think he's exactly right. I, you know, having taught ethics for 10 years, I'll tell you, you can teach people how to think better about ethics. It's really hard to make people better. Are you a parent? You understand my problem. So what you have is you can either find good people and hire them, and then train them how to police based on skills within their character. But you cannot find skilled people and then train them how to be good. It's just incredibly difficult to do. So I could totally agree with him about that. John Singley from Studio 850 asked a question about the Flock cameras. That's the license plate readers. And how do you balance liberty and surveillance against each other?
Shot spotter, blind cameras, license plate readers. How do you, as chief, or maybe in your past experience, but going forward, how do you balance civil liberties with surveillance?
How do you balance civil liberties with surveillance when all these various technologies?
You got to balance them. I mean, you gave the answer right there. It is a balance. I mean, everybody in this room probably has a cell phone in their pocket, and you are being surveilled. And it's a decision that people made that I'm okay to have this device which can track all of my location, listen to my conversations, etc. It's a different world today than it was 25 years ago when I started being a police officer. So you mentioned, did you mention flock cameras? Flock cameras are something that's very interesting. Flock cameras are extremely helpful in investigating crimes, but there's also ways that you can take away some private information from the system to protect the public so that it doesn't take a picture of the driver, for example, that it doesn't retain the information for too long.
And he actually told a story about how they used flock cameras and street cameras to solve a crime, a murder.
I know myself, when we're investigating a homicide and we have a description of the stolen car, which traveled a certain direction, you know you're never going to pin that car onto the vehicle's owner because that's not the shooter. But now you know the direction it fled, and maybe you saw where it was dumped. And maybe, to tell you, from flock cameras, a homicide investigation I had in Chicago, we tracked a stolen vehicle. It had shot a young man, and about an hour before it was involved in that murder, the individual had pulled up. We figured this out through flock cameras, pulled up to a Dairy Queen drive-thru without a ski mask and ordered, and we had a perfect crystal clear picture of him eating an ice cream cone. And that same car in the same outfit was then seen when he had a ski mask on committing, and we got him charged and convicted of murder. So super, super, super effective tool, but there's gotta be a balance there. That's the same thing.
And I'm reading between the lines on how all this worked. You know, it's not like they had the flock license plate reader set up at the Dairy Queen. What they probably did is, with the various license plate readers that they had around town, they could follow the path of this car by querying the database that's created and then flushed every 30 days. And they could figure out, oh, it seems like he was at the Dairy Queen. Now let's go to the DQ and let's ask them if they've got video, and they do. And okay, here we go. We found this person when he wasn't wearing a mask, when he was just ordering an ice cream cone before he engages in this homicide. And yeah, that's a, you know, if that was your loved one, you'd be pretty grateful for having technology that would actually close a murder. And for the rest of the community, that's pretty good to be able to close out a murder that way and get that person off the streets. And then ShotSpotter, which it's going to be interesting because he is clearly an advocate for ShotSpotter. But ShotSpotter is going away. I think we still have them in operation right now, but the funding has gone away, the grant funding that made it possible, and neither PPD nor Scammy Sheriff's Office believe that it's worth spending to have it be done. But here's his answer on ShotSpotter.
ShotSpotter is a great technology. ShotSpotter, essentially what it boils down to, it tells you where bullets are coming out of guns. That's it. That's all it says. And that is a very important data point for a police department to have, especially if you are in a challenged neighborhood or a neighborhood that maybe doesn't have the best relationship with the police, that they're hesitant to call 911. Because I can tell you myself personally, I've responded to ShotSpotter complaints and found an individual who was struck by bullets and in need of medical attention prior to anyone calling 911. And that's something, that's a challenge that Chicago's going through now, as they were, you know, either throwing away their contract or doing it. I get the politics of it too. It's a, you know, could we use that money for other things? But if there are bullets going, if there are children being shot in your city, ShotSpotter is an extremely effective and good technology.
Yeah, and I mean, he saved a life. And the key to that is that nobody reported it too, you know, which could be because shots are common off that they didn't bother reporting it. Could be because in that particular community, they don't trust the cops. They don't want to report things. They don't want their name. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. But the point is, you know, save a life because you found out where the shots were actually happening. Now, I know that there are two things. Number one, I know a lot of people, you know, the question of trust has come up, and I think he's answered that question. But also the question of, well, is he just a, you know, a liberal from Chicago and Michigan, and he's going to come down here, and, you know, is he even a conservative? Well, okay. I mean, I don't know. Is he a good cop is really more the relevant question because, you know, we don't actually ask police how they vote. But is he going to do law and order the right way? That's what we really want to know. And I'll tell you that he made some comments that went viral in Michigan the other day that I think will pretty definitively answer that question for you. I'll play that next hour. I'll play that at 7:10. Trust me. We'll play. It's coming up. But the thing that I heard in the press conference that I thought was so... I'm always a guy who... I'm fascinated by evidence you didn't expect to find. You know, like last hour when I was playing some of these, I was like, you know, the person who makes these kind of jokes is the person who's so comfortable that it's not a concern that they can make the joke. Like the joke about, oh, who's raising questions about me as an outsider? You know, I mean, that's funny. You know, because if you were really worried about it, you don't joke about those things. The way he reacted to the reporters, I was not in the room. I had done my interview and I had to get home, so I wasn't there for the actual press conference. But the way he reacted to the reporters when they would do the very normal thing you do when it's a new person, you say, you know, hey, I'm Andrew from News Radio 92.3 or whatever. I want you to listen to how he reacts to the reporters. Because to me, this also tells us something about his character, his demeanor, his who he is.
I'm Jim Little with the Pensacola News Journal.
Hi, Jim.
Tanner's here with WEAR.
Hi, Tanner.
John Sigley.
Hi, John. Hi, Hannah.
And that's over the course of the whole, like, these are not back-to-back. This was, they'd say it right before they'd ask a question and before anything else. Oh, hey, Tanner. You know, hey, Jim. Just that kind of friendliness, that kind of wanting to learn somebody's name and reaffirm the relationship. And, oh, hey, you know, I mean, I know it's a little thing, but I read it as a positive. Like I said, we'll come back. Trust me, next hour, very interesting comments. You will enjoy hearing them. And if you cannot listen at 7:10, you can always go back and check the podcast at newsradio923.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, John.
Hi. I just wanted to reaffirm.
Hi, John.
Okay. Hi, no accident.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Tanner.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110, 2990, or 98. They are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Refresh your basketball fandom with an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Enjoy great taste from tip-off to the final buzzer with Coca-Cola. Grab a full court flavor with ice-cold Coca-Cola. Make the run to your local grocery store or convenience store before the game begins and grab a Coke. The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the Mardi Gras fun this weekend. Friday night, rolling at 7, downtown Pensacola will light up with the crew of Lafitte Mardi Gras Illuminated Nighttime Parade. Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2, catch the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Pensacola. And Sunday, it's Mardi Gras Island Style, with the crew of Rex Parade on Pensacola Beach beginning at 2. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Help! They're shooting at us! They're shooting at us!
We'll shoot back!
They're shooting at us. Shoot back. Such a great line from Tom Sizemore in Black Hawk Down. 628 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
on state law and local.
We'll get to David in just a second. Meanwhile, if you need any kind of video production work done, whether it's aerial, you know, drone-based, or whether, you're trying to shoot the Olympics, let's say, or you just need, video of your house because you want to have it in case there ever has to be a claim, or you're trying to market a restaurant and you want to do a walkthrough or a piece of real estate or a subdivision or a product or service or a meeting or video. If you need video, Pelican Drones. They take care of all of that stuff, and obviously they'll shoot the video. They will edit the video. They'll produce it for you in whatever form you need. You need it for, 14 seconds for TikTok or 30 seconds for Facebook or whatever in between or longer for TV, whatever. Then you own it when they're done. Okay, they don't have any proprietary claim over it. They give it to you so you can do with it whatever you want. They work with all kinds of companies, big and small. Individual homeowners who just want a video of their house all the way through to, F. Portofino, Visit Alabama, Innisfree, FPL. They've done work with Netflix and HGTV. The point is you can buy their services by the hour, by the half day, by the day. And if you need any kind of video work done at all, Pelican Drones, pelicandrones.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
A military test is being blamed for the decision to shut down airspace over a major U.S. city. The New York Times is reporting that the Pentagon decided to test an anti-drone laser weapon, and that's what closed down that airport in El Paso. And apparently they didn't coordinate properly with the FAA.
I've heard four different versions of this story.
I heard
a party
balloon.
Yeah, a party balloon, a cartel drone. I'm like,
it was a weather balloon.
What is the actual incident here?
I'm Chris Foster. Investigators looking for Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy, have a black glove found about a mile and a half from her home.
This a day after the FBI released images and video from a doorbell camera the morning of her disappearance, showing an armed individual tampering with the camera. In the footage, the individual appears to be wearing dark gloves along with a backpack.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. It's day 12 of the search. President Trump at the White House with a group of coal executives and miners is given a trophy declaring him the undisputed champion of beautiful clean coal.
I'm directing the Department of Energy to issue funds to coal plants in West Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina, and Kentucky to keep them online and keep those plants open.
And he's ordering the military to buy more electricity from coal-fired power plants. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 61 degrees. Right now we've got cloudy skies here today. We'll get a look at our full forecast with Brooke Richardson, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. Pensacola International Airport is adding new voices to its rotating announcements. Golfer Bubba Watson and NFL Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith are joining Mayor D.C. Reeves on those recordings. City Administrator David Stafford says the mayor's happy to share the spotlight there at the airport.
Every time he's anywhere near either the airport staff or visitors business travelers that frequent the airport, he's always very apologetic that they have to continually hear his voice all day, every day. So I think nobody's more excited than he is. But, it's great to be able.
And Stafford says Pensacola has an embarrassment of riches of famous people willing to support their hometown. There's also talk of adding Super Bowl star and Pine Forest graduate Devin Witherspoon, who just played in his first Super Bowl. Construction officially underway on that new football stadium at the University of West Florida. The Darryl Gooden Stadium is expected to open in fall of 2027. Head coach Caleb Noble says it'll help the University of West Florida compete with programs all across the country.
So it'll give them a great facility to be able to use year-round that will rival a lot of universities around the country regardless of division. And it'll give us a great competitive advantage whenever we're playing football games here at Darryl Gooden Stadium.
The project is funded through private donors and a $2 million grant from the Escambia County Tourist Development Council. Now, the city of Pensacola is changing hours at some parks. Most of them now will be open sunrise to sunset. Five parks will stay open until 10 p.m. Those include Community Maritime Park, Veterans Memorial Park, and the downtown plazas. The Blake Doyle Skate Park will remain open through midnight. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the changes follow a comprehensive review of how residents actually use the parks. New signage will be going up later this week. A 19-year-old Molina woman is recovering after a crash on the north side of Escambia County. The Florida Highway Patrol says the woman lost control of her SUV on Century Boulevard Wednesday and ran off the road into a ditch. The vehicle rolled. She was taken to Sacred Heart Hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. Well, are you ready for a rocket launch? News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says SpaceX plans to lift off early tomorrow morning.
Yes, and SpaceX delayed the launch Wednesday of a SpaceX rocket carrying a four-person crew to the International Space Station. The delay was caused by weather conditions down at the Kennedy Space Center. NASA confirmed the earliest launch window for the Crew 12 mission will begin at 4:15 a.m. That's Pensacola time on Friday. Live coverage starts 90 minutes before liftoff. Go to floridatoday.com/space and watch the action. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Also delay-free. Everything is flowing smoothly on our roads. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
Starting off very mild today in the 50s. Temperatures will warm up as we head through your afternoon. 69 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. As you head into Saturday, 30% chance of some showers, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, high near 71. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
61 and cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Let
So by dedicating a portion of the local option sales tax renewal, we can save our farmland and our agricultural industry without taking away money from, again, an already tight budget.
You know, the problem I have with the way this item was brought forward, it was put on the agenda as an approval or denial to allocate future sales tax funds to farm conservation, and there was zero backup. There was nothing put to the public that said 5%, 10%, 20%. There was nothing saying what it looked like. There was nothing published out there. Today, we're given this information on the dais, and I understand this is agenda review for Thursday's meeting. But the problem I have with that is you gentlemen knew that I wouldn't be at Thursday's meeting. That was announced publicly. So it's either I go along with it and put it on the consent agenda, meaning I'm in agreement with whatever it ends up being, or I say, well, we need to have a vote on Thursday, and I'm not here to vote.
What the hell, brah? That's my short translation of Colton Wright. So the issue here, as we talked about last hour, that we did the first act of this melodrama last hour, 5:30, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast, newsradio923.com. And Rhett Rowell, District 3, he campaigned on conservation. He wants to have conservation for farmland, whether it's a transfer of development rights or it's actual acquisition of land. That's not usually the way they want to go. And he's been a big advocate for this, and he wants to pitch to the county, to the voter, that if you re-up the local option sales tax, the 1/2 cent that currently goes to law enforcement, roads, drainage, parks, okay, if you renew that, because it expires in December, expires at the end of this year, it's going to be on the ballot in November. If you renew it, we will promise to put some of the money, those things, yes, but also some of the money into conservation land so that we can, you know, protect farmland from being developed. And everybody agrees that that needs to be done. The issue is, should we pledge it out of the local option sales tax? Should we pledge a certain amount? And or should we be talking about this yet, since we really have more information and a meeting designed around this coming up in March? And Colton says, brah, we're with you, but there's no information. There's no percentage. This is purely symbolism. And, you know, I'm going to be out of town on Thursday. That's today. This is on a Tuesday meeting. And why are you bringing this up now if anybody objects? And already a couple of commissioners had objected. If we object and then I'm not here to make the vote, that's weird. If I don't object, then it's on consent and it passes with no conversation. And that's weird. Also, by the way, you know that District 3 doesn't, that's Rhett Rowell's district, the North End, doesn't really generate much of the sales tax from which local option sales tax goes. Or, to you know, you use local option sales tax out of when you buy a car. The first $5,000 goes at the percent, 6% to the state, an additional 1% for the county, half goes to the school, half goes to the county for those things. You know, there are, but, you know, you go to the store and you buy things that get taxed. That's local option sales tax. That's about $8 million a year, give or take. It fluctuates, obviously, but, you know, it's a substantial amount of money. And he says, you know, the problem is you're wanting to pay all this money for farmland, and, you know, the North End does not generate that much of the sales tax.
Percentage of local sales tax collections in 2023. You know who was number one? What area of the county generated the most local option sales tax dollars?
District 2.
Negative.
Thinking of Pace. Never mind.
Pace at 27.2%.
District 1.
So the Highway 90 corridor everyone complains about and all that development, all that commercial corridor, that's what generates all the money. Number 2, District 5, Gulf Breeze. Same thing, Highway 98 commercial corridor. District 2 is number 3 in the Milton area, and that's because obviously Highway 90 covers part of that. Navarre is 20%. And Jay in District 3 is roughly 1% of local option sales tax.
So 20% of the county by geography, 20% of the county by, well, not by geography, sorry, by population, is 1% of the local option sales tax. And here you are wanting to put a lien against the local option sales tax to get it for farmland conservation. And, you know, that doesn't particularly seem fair.
I believe we should be spreading the love around for sure. And we certainly have done that with roads and public safety and other recreation matters. But I think it's a hard sell without some data and without us talking to the citizenry. I think it's a hard sell to say, we're going to take all that money and we're going to divert it. And we don't even know what percentage we're telling them we're going to divert. So I can't go out and advocate for it if I don't know what the percentage is. So you're asking me to vote today for something saying, well, just vote for the bill. We'll tell you what is in it later. I think I remember that happening in Congress a few years ago.
It was Nancy Pelosi talking about Obamacare. And, you know, yeah, we don't know the number. Why are we voting on a share of local option sales tax to go to farmland conservation when you haven't told us, is it a quarter of a percent? Is it 10%? Is it 20%? Is it 3%? You know, we don't know anything, and you're kind of getting defensive about us saying we don't know anything, and now you keep wanting to press forward with this. Raul responds.
First off, if we go by this logic that you presented, first off, you're saying J in District 3, but several of these zip codes are part of District 3 as well. So that's not a real fair.
He's disputing the 1%.
Spaghetti just to throw on the wall. That's not fair at all. That doesn't take into account the gas tax that we pay that comes from the north end, the oil that has been brought, that has been generated out of District 3. We go by this logic, we get no roads, no parks, nothing, based off this little bit of information. So I don't appreciate that. And we have Whiting Field in our district. So many people that live not in District 3 drive to Whiting Field, and they work in District 3. Are we supposed to be penalized by the fact that we are insulating that base?
Yeah, so there's truth in that, and there's also some because the people who live elsewhere and work at Whiting, local option sales tax, I think, theoretically, should go to benefit the people who pay it where they live, you know, their roads, their parks, their law enforcement, although law enforcement is kind of spread all over the place. He's saying, hey, don't take away my Whiting people, even though they don't live in my district, they work in my district, and we got to buffer Whiting. And that's true. And again, the board is in agreement about this. They've been working really hard to buffer Whiting. So it is a little bit weird. I think the weirdest part of this is the idea that we don't know the percentage. Rhett, who I like Rhett a lot, is really eager to force them to commit, but not to commit to anything specific. It's like a vote of intent without any numbers attached to it, and that seems weird. Bobby Burkett, another commissioner, says, yeah, let's just bring it back later. Why not?
I have concern about there's no percentage. Like I've said, I don't like giving a blank check, and that's the only problem I have with it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, maybe you come back and it's a 100th of a percent of the money coming in. I mean, is that enough? Maybe you want it to be 30%. You know, what about that? How do you solve that problem? We'll come back to this in a second because it's about to get funner.
we're
getting to the good part here. Sometimes it takes a little setup. You know, a song builds, right? Okay, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I-10, I-110, 29, 98. That hut are all flowing smoothly. I had to put a football reference.
Omaha!
I know. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great selection, good quality used cars. And, you know, what I like about Frontier is they try to think about what you don't like about buying a car, which is a lot of things. And then they try to not do that stuff as much as they can. One of the examples is, you know, when you go to buy a car, it's always like, put the dukes up. Come on. You know, like you got to be on defense and they're going to try to pry and ask questions and, you know, well, here, come to this, talk to this person, sit down in this room, go over there and do that. I mean, it's just the whole process is icky/scuzzy, right? You know, you feel that way and you feel it when you're experiencing it. So what does Frontier do? Okay, that's bad. Let's not do it that way. Let's try to make it easy. Okay, you want to look at a car? You know, here's the keys. You want to talk about a price? You don't? Okay, cool. You know? You do want to talk? Okay, well, let's sit down and talk about it. Let's put all the numbers right on one piece of paper, including a Carfax. Here, that's all we're ever going to talk about. There's no additives later on. We're going to follow up with you after you buy a car. Make sure you're happy with it. After you bought the car, 6 months and a year later. Like, all the little things about doing it right. That's what Frontier is built around. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the building drama, the Santa Rosa County Commission, where Raul wants to pledge an unspecified slice of the local option sales tax half-cent renewal that is going to be on the ballot in November to farmland and conservation. The other commissioners have previously said they all agree. What they are balking at is voting to affirm a non-number, and also that they're making this pledge now when they're not sure whether people are interested in farmland conservation as a slice of the local option sales tax, which they are very eager to renew. Because, you know, $8 million a year is a pretty big slice of the budget. They need that. And they're just saying, let's not commit to this yet. Also, what are we even committing to? Okay, so Rhett Rowell says,
all you're saying is, yeah, we're going to give a sliver to the farming community. That's all this is. That's all this is. I'm not asking for a percentage, because if I were to come up here and to ask for a percentage, then it would be attacked that way.
Wait, so if I say it's a small amount, and you object because you don't say the amount. But then if I say the amount, then you're going to object to the amount. No. I mean, I think you just say the amount. If that's what you want to do, Colton, right?
You say a sliver. What is a sliver? A sliver to you versus what Commissioner Burkett thinks is a sliver versus Commissioner Ennison and me could be different. And that's the problem. There's nothing advertised. Is a sliver 0.5%? Is it 0.25%? Is it 5%? But you're asking us to vote on something, and if you throw out a number now, be very cautious, because is that the number we're sticking to, or are we going to change it? We didn't put that to the public. We could have done this differently.
Yeah, so I'm not throwing out a number now. That's the beauty of this. The board collectively will work on that.
The beauty is there's what? No, I'm so okay. I like Rhett a lot, but this doesn't make any sense to me. Why is he pushing to get them to promise to do something they've already promised to do and making it a thing, like to have this symbolic vote that doesn't carry any teeth, because you could come back later and, like Colton says, is 0.1% enough? Does it have to be 30%? I have no idea what we're promising to. It's just like a let's go team when we don't have any details at all.
I'm asking for a vote to say we are going to allocate a part and dedicate a part of loss renewal. That's it. This is a simple ask.
Yeah, but slower isn't better. more emphatic doesn't clarify the point.
It's a vague ask. It'd be like saying, gentlemen, let's have on the agenda, do you vote to support roads? Do you vote to support public safety? Do you vote to support parks and recreation? I mean, it's a vague ask.
Who's in favor of schools? All hands. Who's in favor of schools at $14 million a year? right? Or 3%. But that's a more meaningful vote. And that's exactly what Colton's getting at is, don't come and ask us like an in-spirit vote, like a rah-rah in unison. Let's put a number or not put it. And more to the point, they all agree. And that's why he wanted to delay this discussion until March, when they have better information and they can really talk about what's the right way to approach the local option sales tax renewal and the rest of the budgetary matters. So how's this going to turn out, John? How do you think this is going to play out? What's the end result going to be?
I have no idea at this point.
Okay, so far, Kerry Smith and Colton Wright have said Colton's against doing this today. He wants to do it in the future. Kerry has kind of said that. Bobby Burkett has kind of said, let's wait. Ray has not said a lot, okay? And Red is like, let's do it now. I don't know what the problem is, even though there's no numbers attached to what I'm doing. Okay, you ready?
So, gentlemen, what do you want to do? Do you want to put this to Thursday's consent agenda? Do you want to move it to the consent agenda, or do you want to move it to Thursday for a vote?
I make a motion without objection to move it to the consent.
So Rhett says, let's just do a consent.
I'll object to it.
Okay, once you object, it's no longer the way Santa Rosa does this weird thing where I move it without objection. That's a kind of an acclamation. That's if nobody objects, then it's all good. Nobody else in this area really does that, so they're kind of unique doing it. But if anybody objects, then it's no longer, you have to actually take a vote. So what they're doing, so he objects to putting on the consent agenda, which would not even get a vote on Thursday today. So now they have to vote on whether they're going to even have it on the agenda without a vote. I know it's confusing, but that's what they're doing.
Okay, I'll entertain a different motion.
Okay, I make a motion that we move this to the regular agenda for Thursday.
So let's have a vote now about whether to have a vote on Thursday.
And that dies for lack of a second.
Ouch. When you make a motion and nobody else is on your side, then you're all out there on your own and like, oh, crap, this limb will not support what I was hoping it would. I need to back up. So nobody even seconded it to have a vote on Thursday. So this is not going Rhett's way.
Case, I'll motion that we table this until sometime late March, once we've got some additional data and after we've had some discussion in our workshop.
I'll second that.
Okay. So all in favor of that motion to table, so we can take this topic up at a later time, sometime next month, and with some information and data so we can have an informed decision, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, let the record show that motion to table passes 4-1 with Commissioner Rowell in opposition.
I do not understand this opposition. It's already not going to go on consent. It's not going to go on the regular agenda. But then you vote no on even putting it at a subsequent meeting. That's I mean, I think Rhett, in sort of the heat of the frustration of losing, didn't understand that, well, obviously he wants to have it at a later meeting, because the alternative to you can't have it on consent, you can't have it on regular, and if you don't have it at a future meeting, then you never have it. And that would mean never having the issue at all, and I don't think he wants that. So I'm not really sure why he voted no, except to say, well, I don't want it at a future meeting because I wanted to have it today, but they've already said no to that alternative. So I think he just – I mean, I think on reflection he would have changed that vote the other way. At least I hope so, because it's a weird vote to vote no. But okay, so there you go. That's the end of it. And the funny thing – this is what Colton pointed out. The funny thing is they all agree. They want to do this. They all agree the local option sales tax matters. The question is going to be whether they pitch the local option sales tax as including conservation land or not. And that is a question about what they think the psychology of the voter is going to be in November, and whether that's going to enhance their chances of getting it passed, or whether that is going to distract from or discourage people from voting for it because they're going to feel like that's a waste of the money, that people really want to go to things like fire trucks and law enforcement vehicles and roads and stormwater drainage. So we'll see. This is a to be decided later, but what a bizarre Days of Our Milton way of getting to a result that was already the result they already agreed. Sometimes, you know, people just can't get out of their own way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got one accident on the big board right now on Berry Hill and Spencer Field Road over in Pace. So just be aware of that. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
What if I told you there's money hidden in your home? Not under the mattress, not in the couch cushions, but real money waiting to be put to good use. With a home equity line from PennAir Credit Union, you can tap into your home's value for renovations, big projects, or whatever's next. No annual fees, no closing costs, just smart, flexible funding backed by a local team. Your home's got extra cash. Put it to work. Learn more at PennAir.org/home equity. Equal housing lender.
It's almost time for the biggest celebration of the 2026 Pensacola Mardi Gras season, presented by the Ice Flyers Foundation. Saturday, February 14th at 2 p.m., the Pensacola Mardi Gras Parade will feature over 200 entries as downtown transforms into a vibrancy of Mardi Gras spirit, complete with plenty of throws. Then close out the Pensacola Mardi Gras season in style at the Fat Tuesday celebration, brought to you by Wind Creek. The official finale of the season, February 17th at Seville Quarter. Lessez, Les Bons, Temps, Ruler, is that how you pronounce it?
Lessez, Les Bons, Temps, Ruler.
You said it better than me.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand, and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Beads are fun.
Laissez les bons temps rouler.
Moon pies too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I just bought stock. You just saw me buy stock. No big deal. I mean, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. Whoa.
All right, quick check. John, do you remember that ad? The Baby E-Trade ad?
I do.
Vaguely?
Yeah.
And then at the end he throws up.
Yes. Those are cute,
if
though.
If I can buy stocks, you can buy stocks.
Exactly.
6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a kid who's struggling with math, or maybe not struggling but could do better, or maybe, you know, has never liked math. Maybe suddenly something kind of changed where they were doing fine and now they're not. Whatever the case may be, Mathnasium. I love this program. I'm a big believer, A, in the importance of math, B, in the possibility of every kid being good at math. Every kid can learn to do math. You just have to learn to teach them the way they'll learn it. And what happens is when you go into Mathnasium, they'll do an assessment. It's a completely free assessment. It costs you absolutely nothing. So you go in and they'll give your kid a test and the kid performs a test and then they'll say, okay, this is what we need. This is where we're missing skills, keys, tools, comprehension, whatever. And then they'll develop a program to try to remedy that. And it's extremely effective. 94% of parents say their math skills of kids go up. 90% see an improvement in their school grade. My son taught at Mathnasium. We are big believers. We're dear friends with the owners. So go by free assessment and just find out if there's a way that your kid can be good at and enjoy math. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
So authorities in Arizona now say they've gotten almost 18,000 tips since Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her home in Tucson 12 days ago.
Well, the good news is there's no tax on tips anymore.
Well, that, yes.
Oh, no. Go on, David. Come and, on now.
Oh, goodness. Greenhouse gas regulations are coming to an end in the U.S. The head of the Environmental Protection Agency says the agency plans to drop the Obama-era scientific finding that greenhouse gases pose a public health threat. The official announcement will be made at an event this afternoon with President Trump.
You will be amazed at a series of comments that incoming PPD chief Eric Winstrom made last week in Grand Rapids. Coming up next.